Good afternoon, everyone. I will give it my best shot. Hope you all had a great lunch. I hope it wasn't crummy. You know, after the two I heard up here this morning, I thought that one had a good shot. Oh. Well, brethren, those of you who like titles, I have one for you. The title of my sermonette is Forgiveness. Forgiveness, a gift that needs to be given back. A gift that needs to be given back. If you would turn over to Luke chapter 23, that's where I want to start in my opening this afternoon. Luke chapter 23. But Jesus Christ, as he was being crucified and hanging on the stake, made a very profound statement. And the statement he made, the words that he uttered that day before his death, gives us insight into the heart and purpose of God towards you and me. So let's begin here in Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, and we're going to break into the account of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. It says, "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary," or some translations say the skull, or Golgotha, "there they crucified him, and the criminals on the right hand, and one criminal on the right hand, and the other on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." Now keep in mind here, Jesus had just been beaten beyond recognition by these Roman soldiers. Nailed through the hands and feet to the stake or the cross. And yet he had the ability, he had the capacity to look down on these men as they gambled for his clothing and ask his Father in heaven to forgive them. How incredible is that? How absolutely incredible is that? Now, how many men could do this? How many men would even have that thought? Please forgive them, for they know not what they do, on behalf of those who were killing them. Brethren, there's numerous themes or messages for us during these days. Tremendous meaning, encouragement, and inspiration during the Passover season, which includes this last day of unleavened bread. But one of the most meaningful aspects of this season to me personally, and I hope it is for you, is the blessing of God's forgiveness. And forgiveness is just one aspect or element of God's grace. The last Sabbath in Tacoma, we heard a very good sermon about God's grace. But the story doesn't end here. Let's continue on here in Luke chapter 23. Let's drop down to verse 39. "Then one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing. Or this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus," one of the criminals, "he said, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" And in verse 43, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say,'" and this is the correct translation, "'assuredly, I say to you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise.'" Now, I hope the day will come when I can approach this man and ask him, when he spoke this, when he said this comment in verse 40, did he mean that he was receiving the just reward from the Roman soldiers because he was a criminal? Or did he mean that he was receiving the just rewards because he was a sinner? It seems to imply that he understood why Jesus Christ was dying for him and all mankind. You get the impression by the comments this man made that he really knew who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ was accomplishing that day. But the point I want to make is Jesus was telling this man and that other prisoner and all those in earshot that what he was doing for him as a sinner and all mankind at that very moment, and that in the resurrection that this man would have the opportunity to have his sins forgiven him and be in God's kingdom. And I get the impression that Jesus knew that this man would do that and he would be in the kingdom. So I asked the question in the beginning. I asked the question, how many men would think about asking for forgiveness for someone who was in the act of putting them to death? Well, there was another man. There is another man that was mentioned over in Acts chapter 7. So I'm going to ask you to turn over to Acts chapter 7. There was another man who had this same spirit of forgiveness, the same attitude that Jesus Christ had, because he also was brutally killed. And this man's name was Stephen. Now, Stephen was what we would call a deacon in the church. But he was falsely accused and he was brought before the religious council in Acts chapter 6. And he goes through a long discourse, which I don't have time to go through. But he goes into chapter 7. So please turn over to chapter 7. And I want to break into Stephen's discourse here in chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, and beginning of verse 51. This is what Stephen said. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things," so when these men, this council heard these things, "they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." And so they couldn't handle what Stephen was saying to them. It cut into their conscience. "But he," Stephen, "being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said," he said, "look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, these men, they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran to him with one accord. And once again, they could not handle what Stephen was telling them. "And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice." So look what he says here. Look at the heart and mind of this man. "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Do not charge them with this sin. "And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So we see that Jesus and Stephen leave us with this example in regards to forgiveness, which is, if we are to receive it, we must be willing to give it. Often people throw stones, don't they? Sometimes these stones can be big stones. Sometimes they can be very hurtful, can be very damaging. And sometimes those type of hurts are hard to forgive. Sometimes they throw the little pebbles that just graze you, the little hurts. Those sometimes or often are easier to forgive. But often they don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize they're hurting you. They don't realize that they are sinning against you. So here's the question. Can we develop the capacity to forgive in the measure that Jesus Christ and Stephen did? Can we do it? We can. We heard in the sermon today how we can. Because Jesus Christ is reliving his life within us. And if he is, then that forgiveness, that mercy that he showed on the day that he was dying can be in us and give us the ability to also forgive as he did. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to begin here in verse 9. The disciples approached Jesus Christ and they asked Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. Because they didn't really know how to pray. They had heard Jesus pray. They wanted to learn how to pray as he did. So here in Matthew 6 and verse 9, he says, Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, that is in heaven. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. And the key verse here in verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the debts here can be a physical debt, but they can also be a spiritual debt. It can be something owed to someone. And he says, but do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he ends the prayer there, but he goes on. Look what Jesus says here in verse 14 and 15. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then in verse 15, this is what he says also. He says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That sounds fairly straightforward, doesn't it? If you want to be forgiven, then forgive. I want to read a couple verses in Psalms. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. Just jot them down for sake of time. Psalms 32:1. This is a psalm of David. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. So forgiveness is a blessing from God, whose sin is covered. And in Psalms 86 and verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. I will ask you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. This is my last set of scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 12 and 13. Because, brethren, this is what God expects from us. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you on that day, on that cross, even as he forgave you, so you must also do. Brethren, the Passover season, which includes this last day of unleavened bread, truly is an uplifting and encouraging time because we focus on this gift of forgiveness. And it's the forgiveness that we've received from God, principally. So once we've repented and been baptized, our spiritual debt, which is incurred by our sins, has been paid by our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been canceled. And we can go to God for forgiveness in the future when we do sin. We ask for forgiveness, and we repent, and we'll receive it. So we realize, brethren, that we have been set free from the death penalty, the penalty that Jesus Christ paid for us. And that gives us peace and confidence in our relationship with God, doesn't it? And we rehearse this every Passover season, this lesson of forgiveness. It's truly one of the central themes for this season, for me personally, and I hope for you also.